This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, coming to you today on our podcast with something that is really absolutely foundational to building your ministry team. Remember Paul's words in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He's writing to Timothy this final letter from the Apostle Paul. He's within days or weeks of his own death, and he knows it. And yet he wants to talk to Timothy one more time in order to give him foundational advice on how to thrive as a pastor and in ministry. And he tells him this. He said, "The things that you have learned from me, commit unto faithful folks who are going to be able to teach others also." In other words, Timothy, you're going to have a team if you're going to be effective. Today, I'd like to talk about this very practical issue of team building along this line. What do people that you're recruiting have to believe in order to join your team? It's really a foundational issue, and I think it'll help you as in knowing what has to happen in the heart of an individual to come on and plant both feet in the ministry with you and begin moving toward the role of not just a helper, but a partner in ministry. Right before we jump in, I want to offer you a free resource. If you'll go to paultotimothy.com, we have a free ministry training resource that is titled, How to Find and Empower Your Leadership Team. This has been used by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of leaders in the world, and we want to invest into your ministry. You're going to like the course. It will talk to you about how to find your leadership team, recruit them, train them, and empower them. It really is along the line of what we're even talking about today, 2 Timothy 2:2, committing unto the faithful. You can find it and get it for free at paultotimothy.com. Let's jump right back in. What do people have to believe if they're going to jump on to your ministry team? You need to know this if you're a youth pastor, children's minister, lead pastor, leading an organization. We are regularly talking with folks and they are making decisions as to how and if they will align themselves with the vision that God has placed within us. In other words, will they become a part in some fashion of our leadership team? When I look at Scripture and I look at the dynamics of the Apostle Paul as he's relating to Timothy, there are four really major issues that it is clear that Timothy needed to believe in order to become a ministry partner of the Apostle Paul. Keep in mind, Timothy is the pastor that followed the Apostle Paul at the church at Ephesus, and that is who Paul is writing to in 2 Timothy. He's writing back to Timothy. Paul's in prison, the Mamertine prison in Rome in 2 Timothy. Timothy is pastoring Ephesus, and it's a tough place to pastor. And so what I shared at the beginning, 2 Timothy 2:2, he's emphasizing to him, you got to have a team. But if you look at the relational dynamics, the interplay between Paul and Timothy, if you look at the dynamics in their relationship, you realize that Timothy had to believe four things, and Paul helped him have a sense of understanding from the Holy Spirit that there were four things going on that really facilitated Timothy becoming a true partner to the Apostle Paul. Keep in mind, in Philippians 2, Paul said, "I don't have anybody else like Timothy. This guy is the partner of all partners." Well, what did Timothy believe in order to join Paul's ministry team? And what do your ministry leaders that you're recruiting have to believe in order to join your ministry team? Let's talk about them. Number one, they must believe that God needs them on your team. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul, in talking to Timothy, said this, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." If you catch the import of that, you see the emphasis that Paul is telling Timothy, God needs him. There is a gift of God in Timothy's life that needs to be exercised. It is so important for that to be true in the lives of the people that we are recruiting. Keep in mind, I'm not talking about how to manipulate people. I'm not talking about how to work them psychologically. I'm talking about coming alongside the present voice of the Holy Spirit. Anything other than that is really not true leadership on our part. It's manipulation. But when we can talk to somebody and really have a conviction in our heart that there is a gift of God that is in them that can be expressed in our ministry, I'm telling you, that is something that they need to believe, that God has gifted them and that that gift can work in your ministry. Let's look at the second one. They need to hear and believe authentically that you need them. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said this, "Just as I urged you," talking to Timothy, "upon my departure from Macedonia to remain on in Ephesus, so that you would instruct certain people not to teach strange doctrines." What's the import behind that? Paul is telling Timothy, I need you. One of the most meaningful conversations that you will have in a recruiting process of ministry leaders is for them to not only believe that they have a gift from God on the inside of them that would benefit the ministry under your leadership, but they need to hear from your heart that you need them. So many times, those that are looking at us as ministry leaders, we're recruiting them as ministry leaders to join us, but they see us as isolated, independent, and well-equipped without them. Let me share with you that it is essential that the people that you're working with know that they offer gifts and abilities and a heart and a mind and hands that can do things that you cannot do. And when Paul's talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, he's letting him know that, son, I need you to do this, and I can't do it without you. That's an essential message that you need them. Let me give you the third one that I think is a really big deal. It is this, that other people need them. I'd like you to listen to the verses of Scripture starting with verse 1 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul said this to Timothy, "I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, use self-restraint in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." There is a heart behind that that says this in Paul's message to Timothy. He is going through a list of competencies that he needs: preaching, correcting, rebuking, exhorting, instructing. But underlying all of those competencies is this: other people need their giftedness, need Timothy's giftedness. That's true with the people that you are recruiting. They need to see the harvest field. Remember when Jesus was sitting and he's with a woman that so many had rejected, and his disciples are talking to him, and he turns and says, "Look at the harvest field," as he sees this throng of people approaching them. It's so important for the folks that we're recruiting to know that their gifts are going to make a difference, and there are other people that are counting on them. As a pastor, I've counseled so many times and looked into the eyes of a father and husband who is debating leaving and divorcing and pursuing a life, and I hear him say things like, they're better off without me. I do my best to help him understand, you're wrong. That is not true. You are so vital. Your wife needs you, your kids need you, and you fulfill a role in them that I'm just telling you, if you vacate that place, it will be felt and they will experience hurt, deep hurt because of that. That's true in ministry as well. When we don't step in to do what God has equipped us to do, other people very easily suffer because of that. The absence of leadership is very often simply because of the absence of committedness of people to join a team. I'm not trying to work people over the coals to get them onto a ministry team, but an honest conversation that your ministry here with us will add a dimension that is not offered without you, and other people need them. Let me give you the last one. The first one, they need to know that God needs them. Secondly, that you need them. Thirdly, that others need them. And fourthly, they need to know this in their heart in order to jump on your ministry team in a significant way. Fourthly, they need to know that doing ministry with you will allow them to fulfill their own calling. Listen to Paul's words again to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18. Paul said, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight." He's letting him know, Timothy, you have a calling. You have a calling from God that is so significant. You have a calling of God that must be fulfilled. It was Mark Buntain who served as a missionary, one of the greatest missionaries by my estimation and many others, as a missionary in Calcutta, India. He is known for the thousands and thousands and thousands of orphans that he daily minister to, the team that they put together on Mission of Mercy, the hospital that they built, the churches that they facilitated, the lives that they changed in the tens of thousands. A remarkable ministry that goes on to this day. Mark Buntain passed away a number of years ago, but in the beginning of his ministry, when he was around 20 years old, his dad was the general overseer. I'm not sure of what the title, but he oversaw a Pentecostal denomination in Canada. And there were a handful of businessmen that contacted his dad. Mark Buntain's father was named Dan Buntain. They contacted Dan Buntain as the overseer of the denomination and indicated to him, "We have a church that we can't get anybody to come to, and we would so much want you to help us." And Mark said, "I know somebody that'll go there. I'm going to send my son there." And Mark was around 20 years old. And Dan Buntain went to him and told him, he said, "Mark, I want you to go to a church in Saskatchewan." And it had like half a dozen people in it. The temperature there ranged from 10 degrees to 23 below zero in the wintertime. It was a mess. And when Mark went, he went mostly because his dad had asked him to go. And when he got there, he decided that he was going to work hard and he was going to please his father. And he worked hard and hard and hard for a number of months, and he grew the church to 21 people. And his dad was going to make a visit, and Mark was so excited because he had every intention that when his dad arrived, his dad would see what he's doing and get him a transfer out of there. Well, his dad arrived, but Dan Buntaine stayed busy with the denominational work at hand, and they didn't have any time for a heart-to-heart. Mark was getting worried, and the day came for Dan Buntaine to leave, and they were walking to the train station, and Mark is extremely concerned because he wants to tell his dad, "You need to get me out of here." And during the walk, Dan Buntaine stopped. He turned to his son, Mark, and he told him this. He said, "Mark, I know how you're feeling right now, and you can do one of two things tonight." He said, "I know that you want to leave, and I'll give you the money, and you can get on the train with me, and we can go back to Toronto. Or you can stay here and stick it out and see what God will do with you in this place." And Mark Buntaine, later in life, said this. He said, "I'll never forget the big, thick lump that came in my throat. Tears poured down my face, and I said, 'Dad, I'm going to stay right here.'" There were four things that clicked in Mark Buntaine's heart. He felt strongly that God needed him there. He felt strongly that his dad needed him there. That was really why he came to begin with. He believed that others needed him there, that they would be lacking without his investment. And Mark came to believe that he needed to fulfill his calling. Mark said, he said, "That was the turning point of my ministry." Mark Buntaine was so wise to allow these four elements in the recruitment of even his own son as a ministry partner. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute. I want to encourage you, go to paultotimothy.com and receive a free ministry training course titled "How to Find and Empower Your Leadership Team." It's at paultotimothy.com.